Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yes. Okay. Don't tease her.
You are about to enter the arena of real news and factual commentary on The Voice of Reason here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Now, here is your host for today's program, Ed Golly.
And I'm joined on the set today by Karen Clay. Karen, thanks for coming in with us. We are going to talk today about some of the just oppressive legislation being proposed in the Florida legislature this session. And to help us do that are two fellows from the Quality Florida. First, Carlos Guillermo Smith. Tell us who he is, Karen.
Thank you so much, Ed. What a great opportunity to introduce Carlos. Carlos is a former state representative and the current Central Florida Outreach Coordinator for Equality Florida, which is the largest LGBTQ civil rights group in the state. Thank you so much, Carlos, and your counterpart, Mr. Quinn, for joining us today.
And yeah, Quinn Diaz is the Public Policy Associate for Equality Florida. Yeah, thank both of you for coming on. And go ahead and unload the rack. tell us what's going on in the legislature.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ed and Karen, for inviting us on the show. You know, Equality Florida was founded almost 30 years ago to protect the fundamental rights and freedoms of LGBTQ Floridians. And what we've seen is that since he was elected, Governor Ron DeSantis has launched an all-out assault on the core values of freedom, equality, and democracy. He has ignored the real challenges in our state to pursue an anti-LGBTQ agenda, which includes government intrusion and control. It robs us of the right to make healthcare decisions for ourselves, for our children. He's turned schools over to book banning extremists who censor and whitewash history and relentlessly attack LGBT students and parents. Folks are pushing back against this agenda. We saw a horrific agenda last session in the 2023 legislative session where they passed a number of anti-LGBTQ laws, more anti-LGBTQ laws than we've seen in Florida since the days of Anita Bryant. People remember Anita Bryant as a bigot who had a campaign that basically claimed to be about protecting children, but really it was about homophobia. It was about not allowing for LGBT people to be able to have equal human rights in employment. It was about keeping gay teachers out of public schools. Well, they're using the same mantra today. They are using this mantra of protect children as an excuse to be able to take away the fundamental rights and dignities of LGBTQ people. And we're seeing a lot of pushback in this legislative session. There's been a new stream of attacks against our community that range from trying to ban pride flags from government spaces to a trans erasure bill that tries to erase the legal existence of trans and non-binary folks, to even expanding the original Don't Say Gay or Trans law into public and private workplaces, which just exposes the agenda for what it is. It was never about protecting children. It was always about bigotry and control, and that's what we're seeing.
What percentage of the overall population is defined as either a homosexual or any aspect of the LGBTQ community?
That's a good question.
Isn't it pretty much the smallest minority, maybe down where the Jewish population is about 3%? And the LGBTQ when maybe 3 to 5%?
Yeah, I think it ranges depending on what state you live in. I think hovering around the range of 3 to 6% who identify as LGBTQ is probably accurate. But what we've also seen is that a number of LGBTQ people and their families have unfortunately left the state of Florida. They've left because they no longer feel welcome in our state because of so many of these hateful laws that either criminalize, let's say, trans people for using public restrooms, or that erase our existence and visibility in public schools with the Don't Say LGBTQ law. But what we're left with now in 2024 is we see parents are showing up to school board meetings to assert their rights, because LGBTQ families and the parents of LGBTQ children who accept and affirm them for who they are, they are asserting their parental rights as well to make sure that their kids can have access to a safe and healthy educational environment.
And do you see this attack on the community as one that is an agenda of selling fear so that they can retain power, or is it a bona fide fear that these politicians have of minorities?
Well, the so-called anti-woke agenda, which has focused so much on attacks on LGBTQ people, has also been disproportionately targeted at trans and non-binary folks. We've seen attacks on the ability of trans people to update their driver licenses, to have accurate mm-hmm. driver license that reflect their lived gender identity. We've seen bills and laws that were passed last year that actually enact bans to life-saving medical care for transgender folks, both adults and minors. And we've seen that singular focus almost on attacking the existence of trans people has been politically motivated. And there's a reason why, Ed. After, let's say, conservatives, the Republican Party as a whole, after they lost public opinion on the issue of gay marriage and same-sex marriage, particularly after the Supreme Court Obergefell decision, they threw everything at the wall to see what would stick. All of the right-wing think tanks got together to try to figure out, well, we've lost the debate and we've lost public opinion on gay marriage and same-sex marriage. What can we find as the new social wedge issue that we can exploit for our political benefit? And what these right-wing think tanks came up with was that most Americans don't know a trans or non-binary person and therefore misunderstand who they are, and that could be exploited. And so they ran with that. They've been running with that for the last couple of years, attacking trans people because a right-wing think tank told them that they could exploit people's ignorance on this vulnerable community.
And again, aren't they attacking it in the same fashion that they say that they're protecting children, you know, by not having the hormone blockers? And also, I believe there was legislation that said that if a child had a nickname, a parent had to sign a permission slip for that nickname to be used. Now, this wasn't about like Charles or Charlie. This is more like Charles becomes Charlene. They were really looking at targeting trans children in that fashion as well. Is that correct?
Yes. They expanded the original Don't Say LGBTQ law last year. They did it in a number of ways, but one of the ways that they expanded that law was they enacted all of these restrictions on the ability of teachers and administrators in school districts to acknowledge someone's preferred name or their preferred pronouns, to the point where school districts are now sending out permission slips if you want to use any variation of a child's legal name. And why are they sending out these permission slips? You see recently that there's headlines from a school that is now requiring parents to sign permission slips because they have an African-American author or speaker in the school that's there to talk to students. Why are they asking for permission slips on this? Well, the reason they're asking for permission slips is these anti-woke laws that the state of Florida has passed under Governor Ron DeSantis, they are extremely vague. They use overly broad language so that no one really understands what the true impact or censorship is from the bill. And so what you have as a result, because there's also dramatic consequences and severe consequences for those school districts and teachers who are perceived to have violated the law, they are, it's like a CYA. The permission slips are CYA. They want to make sure that they don't get sued. They're trying to make sure that they don't lose their job if they toe the line or come up to the line on one of these vague anti-woke laws. And so they're asking for parental permission slips and parental consent for pretty much everything. And folks are really getting tired of that, by the way. It's why you see so many folks are pushing back, and it's why you see so many of these culture war attacks in this legislative session, 2024, which we're still in, by the way, and I want to bring my colleague Quinn in a moment because they are up there actually on the front lines in Tallahassee every day. It's why you see this anti-woke agenda in this session that's starting to fall apart, and bills are failing to make it across the finish line.
Is there anything in Pasadomo's bill, Live Healthy Florida, that would actually assist the LGBT community?
You're talking about a omnibus healthcare reform package. The omnibus healthcare reform package that is being led by Senate President Kathleen Pasadomo, who is a Republican. This is basically one of her major priorities in this legislative session. It does not include the provision to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, as so many states have already done, to be able to ensure probably almost a million Floridians in the state of Florida who are currently uninsured. It does not include that provision. As far as issues impacting the LGBTQ community, we don't have anything in that Live Healthy Florida package that is on our radar, but we do have concerns and we do have fears that as part of a legislative negotiation that some of these culture war attacks may be tacked on to that Live Healthy Act because it is a priority of the House of Representatives. Both of these chambers are controlled by majority Republicans, a supermajority.
Well, because I don't think it clearly defines, you know, what can be in a grant that people would apply for, what these screenings would entail. And again, you know, as you mentioned, without expanding Medicaid, we're now one of only 9 states in the country that have not expanded Medicaid. We would be drawing down a 90-10 match from the federal government, and as you had mentioned, insuring over 1 million people, and also all of those that have been harmed by Medicaid redetermination. So thank you.
Absolutely. We've seen Karen, we've seen over 400,000 children in the state of Florida who have lost health insurance because of the Medicaid redetermination process, because we have a callous state government that does not care that because of paperwork or bureaucracy in the state delivery of health care that we have in the state of Florida, that those children have lost access to health insurance coverage. In fact, the governor is suing the Biden administration right now in order to protect Florida's ability to continue denying these children who are living in poverty access to health care, which is really despicable. But on the conversation of health care, as it impacts LGBTQ Floridians, particularly trans and non-binary folks, there's a bill that we've been fighting, HB 1639, also known as the Trans Erasure Bill, that introduces really sweeping new assaults on the rights and dignities of trans folks. It tries to deny their legal existence, but specifically, it creates more barriers to medically necessary care. It imposes anti-LGBTQ mandates on private insurance companies, healthcare insurance companies, and really goes above and beyond to ensure that there will be premium hikes, not just on transgender Floridians who need access to medically necessary care, but really on all Floridians, including those who are not LGBTQ. And that's why I want to bring Quinn in. Quinn is my colleague, and they're on the line here as well, and have a lot to share with us about what's been happening in Tallahassee on the front lines from their perspective, and what's been going on specifically around the trans erasure bill.
Take it away, Quinn.
Well, thank you, Ed, and thank you, Carlos. And Carlos has done just a fantastic job of contextualizing this year's legislative assault against LGBTQ folks and transgender Floridians. And just to go back to a point Ed raised earlier, transgender people make up just 0.66% of the population in Florida, yet continue to occupy the sole focus of the state legislature this session. So this transracial bill, 1639, that we've seen, it's called the Clarity and Compassion Bill by its sponsor, but the only clarity that this bill provides is its lack of compassion for transgender Floridians like me, and its intent to escalate the state-sanctioned discrimination and cruelty that we've seen from this administration. The healthcare insurance requirements are egregious. As Carlos mentioned, it would raise health insurance costs for every Floridian with health insurance, just as a way to further disenfranchise and harm transgender Floridians. Now, we've talked about, you know, why are they focusing so much on harming this very small segment of the state population? Well, it's a distraction, as Carlos mentioned, from addressing the real issues that folks are clamoring for relief on, like homeowners insurance premiums and general affordability. This bill will only increase costs for every Floridian at a time when we're all just begging for relief. It also fails to even follow the legislative rules that were put into place when we are talking about healthcare coverage mandates. So typically the state of Florida does not like to specifically require that private health insurance companies cover specific types of things. In law, there's only about 6 or 7 items in healthcare that the state is required private insurance companies to cover. Usually, if you're seeking to create a new coverage mandate in the state, you have to do this exhaustive study about the potential fiscal and social impacts that these new coverage mandates might, you know, result in. The sponsor of the bill has not completed that study, which is necessary for legislative contemplation of a matter like this. And in addition to all of these healthcare insurance mandates, this would deny accurate state identity documents to trans Floridians, which would potentially put the state out of compliance with federal law. There's a federal law, the Federal Real ID Act, which was enacted after September 11th for national security purposes, and basically requires that the documents that states issue list someone's gender. Now, the problem with falling out of compliance with the Real ID Act, which goes into final effect next May 2025, is that if we are out of compliance with the federal law, then everyday Floridians will not be able to use their state-issued licenses or identification cards to board domestic flights. So we're creating so much chaos just to attack transgender people, and it is impacting every Floridian, whether you are LGBTQ or not.
Thank you so much for that, Quinn. It's it's the slate of hate that this legislative session is addressing, and to specifically target the transgender community, the words that they use, they're trying to get, you know, families to think that children are being maimed, deformed, that this is happening while they are children. I mean, the process, again, if you could explain, you know, give some clarity to our listeners about, you know, what age you have to be before you even start talking about any of the body changes that can occur.
Yeah, sure. So everyone's experiences a little differently. I remember when I was growing up, my sister, who is not transgender, was actually put on puberty blockers because she was going to get her period before, you know, that time that you should. She was going to get it early. So we talk about these types of care for folks who are not transgender, and it's totally acceptable. But when we're talking about transgender youth, it becomes, you know, so politicized and unacceptable to treat transgender youth the same way that we're treating non-transgender youth. So these conversations between families and their doctors, they occur throughout childhood, you know, when it's appropriate. You're not really getting into any type of puberty blockers until it's time, you know, puberty is approaching and you're trying to stave off those changes so that you have a better understanding of what you might need to live a healthy and fulfilling life. But when we're talking about kids, we're really not talking about medical intervention. A lot of the media, you know, fear mongers around situations like this saying, oh, well, you know, these young kids are getting surgeries. No one's getting surgeries very rarely before you're 18. I wasn't able to access any type of surgical intervention until I was way into my 20s. And even then, the process required me to go to a licensed mental health care professional for 2 years to get a letter saying, yes, this is the right course of treatment for me. And then I had to find a surgeon who was able to do it, was not able to use health insurance to pay for it, had to, you know, save for several years to be able to afford a surgery, and to arrange for time off after to recover. But generally, when we're talking about kids, we're just talking about, like, social affirmations, like maybe I will dress differently, or maybe I will cut my hair or grow it longer, or my family will start referring to me by the name that I'd like to be referred to. So all the fear, the fear-mongering surrounding medical intervention is truly misplaced for these younger kids that we're talking about.
If I could jump in here real quick, Karen, just to clarify, I think it's really important for folks to understand, since we do live in the so-called free state of Florida, that folks should have the freedom to be able to make their own private medical decisions in consultation with their doctor without political interference. Without political interference. That can translate over to abortion access and access to abortion services. That can translate over to medically necessary care for transgender folks, whether they're a minor or whether they're an adult. People should have the right and freedom to make their own private health care decisions without political interference.
Well, and you also look at Florida in terms of the, you know, our school system. We can actually, I think we've put into law that we can discriminate against the LGBT community as well as the disability community, that these charter schools do not have to take students that are either LGBT or disabled. The list just goes on and on and on. This is clearly not the free state.
Yeah, Karen, actually you're referring to how private schools are allowed to accept taxpayer-funded school vouchers to pay for tuition, and those same private schools are allowed to deny access to students with disabilities, and they are also allowed to even reject LGBTQ-identifying students or students who come from LGBTQ families. They have a right, these private schools funded with taxpayer dollars through school vouchers, to discriminate in that way. And that's another issue certainly that needs to be tackled. And one of the big issues that Equality Florida is tackling right now is this issue related to the new driver license policy in the state of Florida. Just a couple of weeks ago, the state Florida Division of Highway Motor Vehicle Safety basically rescinded the years-long policy that allows for trans and non-binary Floridians to update their gender marker on their driver license to obviously reflect their lived identity. This is not necessarily the easiest process. The previous policy, they had to bring in a doctor's note. They had to bring in other updated documents as well in order to update their gender marker to reflect their lived identity. Now the policy in the state of Florida is that they are refusing to allow for folks to update their gender marker on their driver license, and they're trying to scare the trans community by also threatening criminal and civil penalties for those who try to do that and moving forward. Again, this is not something that helps anyone. This is a mean-spirited right. policy that's just been implemented by the DeSantis administration. By the way, they did this after DeSantis dropped out of the presidential campaign. So we can see that even after he has returned to Florida to try to take his job as governor seriously to solve real problems, he's continuing to obsess over these culture war attacks. I mean, look, Florida has the highest average car insurance rates in the United States. By far, we're number one for average car insurance rates here in the state of Florida. The state should be enacting reform to lower driver costs. They're not. Instead, FLHSMB and the GOP legislature, they're pushing policies to block trans people from getting accurate driver licenses. How does that help anyone?
It doesn't. And then you look at our Florida healthcare system is ranked among the worst in the nation. We're 41st. And then you look at what DeSantis has done during his term. He has rejected close to $11 billion in federal funding in recent years. I mean, when are the citizens of this state going to wake up and see that our Florida legislature and our governor are not helping any of us in the state of Florida, unless you were white, rich, and male?
Yeah, because that's who they serve, is the corporations and the uber rich.
Well, and they are waking up, and we're seeing that not only in local school board hearings where people are turning out and they are speaking up for their own parental rights as well, but we're seeing it up in Tallahassee. A lot of these culture war attacks in this legislative session are failing. They are not getting the support that they need. For example, recently the bill to ban pride flags in government spaces in the state of Florida failed in the Florida Senate. We also saw that the Don't Say Gay or Trans at Work proposal does not seem to be going anywhere. And what that means is it means the public pressure, the outrage that everyday hardworking Floridians are expressing towards their state senators and state representatives to stop these culture war attacks, to actually focus on solving real problems, that public pressure is working. It actually feels like, for once, the even Republican-led legislature is beginning to show signs that they may reassert their independence from the executive branch, that they may actually push back on DeSantis's agenda of censorship and government control to actually start solving real problems. We encourage them to do that. And the reason why we're here is because people are speaking out and they are opposing this agenda. Look at what just happened here. I'm joining you from Orlando. We just had a plus 11 DeSantis House district here in the Orlando area that just flipped over to elect a Democrat, Tom Keene, a pro-equality Democrat. That was an 11-point DeSantis seat. That comes months after Duval County and the city of Jacksonville flipped the mayorship and elected Donna Deegan as mayor. That is a sign that people are tired of this anti-woke agenda, of these culture war attacks on LGBTQ people, and that they are starting to speak out and push back in major ways.
Now, before you leave us, Carlos, I want you to talk about Equality Florida, what the organization does, and how anybody interested could reach out to you.
Absolutely. Well, folks can reach out to equalityflorida.org. That's our main website to find out how they can get involved. You know, one of the things that we've been mobilizing people around is what we call Pride at the Capitol. Pride at the Capitol is when everyday residents and citizens of the state of Florida travel to Tallahassee to make sure that their voices are heard, to speak in public comment in these legislative committees, both against bad bills and also in favor of bills that move us forward and actually help Floridians. And we encourage folks to sign up for Pride at the Capitol, to come be part of the resistance against this anti-woke, pro-censorship agenda, to go to equalityflorida.org. They can sign up for Pride at the Capitol. We do have a 60-day legislative session, which will end near the beginning of March. So we're already past the halfway point. And the public pressure that folks have been engaged in, oftentimes through Equality Florida or one of our coalition partners, has led to some of these bad bills failing. So we need to keep our foot on the gas pedal, so to speak, to continue speaking out against these bills and encourage folks to help us by either donating to equalityflorida.org or visiting our website and signing up for Pride at the Capitol.
Okay. Anything else, Karen?
No, I understood you had a virtual Pride, because I attended the LGBT caucus meeting last night in Hillsborough County, and we were given an update. So your efforts are definitely working, and I for one just applaud you know, you for continuing to do what you're doing, Carlos. And Mr. Quinn, also, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us. Equality Florida is fighting to make sure that every student is protected and every family is respected in the state of Florida. And we appreciate you having us on. Right, Quinn?
Yes, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and good luck to you, and I wish you both well in your future. We need to take a quick time out here to let our listeners know about some of the other programs here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. You're listening to the Voice of Freedom. Voice of Freedom. That's the Voice of Reason.
Freedom, reason, same thing.
Because we're talking so much about oppression in the state that boasts about being the freest state. If only the rest of America knew what's going on down here. Maybe they are more aware than we think, and that's why DeSantis never made it to round two of the primaries.
I think he actually did us a favor in many ways, because he has exposed the underbelly of the politics in the state of Florida, and in the rejection that he received at the national level is telling us that the rest of the country does not want what we have here. Mm-hmm. And how many times I've posted things on Facebook and my friends from other states will go, what is going on down there? Is this real? And, you know, just like the one bill that was, it didn't go anywhere, but it was posed that any Republican candidate running for, or any candidate running for president from the state of Florida would be given, was it like $15 million they wanted in this bill?
Wow.
In other words, it was geared directly at Trump. Well, it was not long after that our illustrious governor dropped out of the race when he said, oh, he'd veto that bill. Well, of course, he was angry at the time. But, you know, I don't know. Is he still kissing the ring of Donald Trump? And as Carlos mentioned, that, you know, are these legislators going to start thinking on their own for a change and not only listening? I mean, what does Ron DeSantis have to offer these legislators at this point?
Mm-hmm. Ed Golly with Karen Clay. Voice of Reason will return with more of the issues that the conservatives never want you to hear about.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to TAN Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on TAN Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival is celebrating its 45th anniversary, and you won't want to miss a moment. Experience the all-new Mermaid Cove, House of Dragons Pub, and enjoy classic favorites like live armored combat jousting or tasty turkey legs. Now is the perfect time to get your discounted tickets. Visit select Circle K locations or find your magic today at BayAreaRenFest.com. Huzzah!
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network.
And if you care to comment or send us an email, we'd love to hear from you at WTANvoice@AOL.com. And we will respond to any issues or questions that you would like to bring up about the program. It's time for Poll Watch, where we take a quick look at some of the statistics that are steering our nation today. 48% of Americans say it is essential to get a verdict on Donald Trump's federal charges before the election.
Woo-hoo.
And after listening to the news about 30 minutes ago, it looks like that may happen. That includes 72% of Democrats, half of independents, and 20% of Republicans, believe it or not. And another 16% say they would prefer to see a verdict. 11% say Trump's trial should be postponed until after the election. Apparently presuming that he would, either that he would win and be able to dismiss him, or that it's too distracting to the presidential campaign. We don't know exactly what they're thinking or why, but I wanted to talk a little bit to follow up on the reason that we have so much anti-LGB legislation this session, and really we've seen it ever since the Republicans have had the supermajority in the state. Carlos said, well, it helps nobody. It helps the politicians who want to stay in power, and I think that really is their agenda, in that these issues he brought up about auto insurance, home insurance, what can potentially happen to this state with climate change are complex issues that they just don't want to deal with. So they want to create the illusion that they're doing something. And maybe, if they can eliminate public schools and privatize the whole school system, they'll be able to trumpet some kind of what they assert as a victory, forget what the consequences are. But
well, and insert what curriculum they want as well, what students are learning. Mm-hmm. And what they can't learn, and what they are not going to learn. They're rewriting history in many ways. When you talk about the black community and you say that slavery was good, that the community benefited from slavery, that it taught them skills. I mean, I would love to see this room of men sitting around coming up with these, you're going to love this one. Let's tell blacks that slavery was a benefit, that it gave them skills. I don't even understand how they come up with some of these things, let alone say them, and say them with such conviction that they really do believe these things to be true. And as Carlos said, I think it's very clear that these are just distractions. They are trying to distract their base, to let them see that we're going after the things that really matter to you, the 0.66% of people mm-hmm. that are transgender. I mean, it's absolutely mind-blowing. And the fact that hardly anybody even knows someone who is transgender, who knows, any of this process about the puberty blockers as opposed to actual, breast implants or any augmentation to the body. Those things are so far in the future for an individual. But again, they're posing it as if these are protections to children. And they're doing the same in Washington. They had all of the big TikTok and X, which used to be Twitter, and Facebook. They had them all there telling them that your platforms are harming children. And they are. They absolutely are. But until they enforce penalties for these tech individuals, these tech companies, nothing's going to change. And the Republicans are the most boisterous. They're loud and aggressive and how bad these are. And yet they know that guns are killing children, but do they say anything about that? No. Because this is a popular issue right now. They're gonna act like we're all on board. We're all on board, but there is until they change the law, and that is the biggest stumbling or the biggest obstacle to any change of any of these online platforms, is that they cannot be sued. It is in law, and until that changes, nothing is going to change. But they love to be outspoken mm-hmm. about it, acting like they're going to do something. The only thing they can and should do is change the law.
And can we think of a single instance where a teacher or a child mentor has sought to indoctrinate another child in, or a minor, into becoming a homosexual? I can't think of any. We just saw 8 kids get shot, in cold blood at a celebration. We don't have any trouble with all the guns infiltrating our communities. In fact, we're making it worse in Florida. Yeah. And that now, they just want anybody to be able to buy a weapon at age 18. They don't care. Just sell those guns.
And they even have, this is the most disgusting ad I've ever seen in a magazine, a child's AK-47 or AK-15, one of those.
Yeah.
It's small. And they have a child holding this weapon. And how many of our legislators have we seen do ads with weapons and their children? You want to talk about indoctrination. That's where the indoctrination mm-hmm. is happening, where they are pushing their guns onto their children and getting them to believe that everyone should have a gun, that guns are good. And these automatic weapons, there's no place for them in society. None whatsoever. Nobody has to have a round of multiple shots in a number of seconds that can kill multiple people in a number of seconds. We don't need that. And those are the guns that should absolutely be gone, and there should be gun ownership that's responsible. If you want to go out and shoot Bambi, go ahead. Go out and shoot Bambi.
Shoot at target ranges. You're not supposed to be shooting in your backyard anyway.
No, but I mean, you know, they claim that, you know, they have rights. Okay, I mean, is your right to shoot a deer, an elk, a moose? I mean, what are your rights? You're not. Those aren't the rights that we're talking about. The people that are being harmed by this gun legislation and gun ownership are human beings, not animals.
Right, right. I wanted to let our listeners hear what our junior senator says about who he would welcome into Florida.
Senator Rick Scott here. Let me give you a travel warning. If you're a socialist, communist, somebody that believes in big government, I would think twice. Think twice if you're thinking about taking a vacation or moving to Florida. We're the free state of Florida. We actually don't believe in socialism. We actually know people, and some people understand lived under it, and we know people lived under socialism. It's not good. It's not good for anybody. So if you're thinking about it, if you think about coming to Florida and you're a socialist or communist, think twice. We like freedom, liberty, capitalism, things like that.
So the public school system is a socialist system. He apparently wants to get rid of that. Social Security, we know what his position on that is. We need to sunset the Social Security Act. And then, of course, the last one would be Medicare. Instead of expanding health care through Medicare for All, he wants to probably get rid of it. I was thinking, I wanted to ask Carlos, but maybe he doesn't know, how the rest of, you know, Western civilization deals with these issues, or if they even need to, because they don't have these problems with health care and paying for it and health insurance and so on, because they have single-payer health care.
Well, America has created a health care for profit, and as long as there is a for-profit entity, the majority of people are not going to benefit. Even those who have health insurance through their employer, the reason that they have it is because their employer is not, you know, magnanimous. Their employer is not generous. Their employer is not giving it to them. They're taking it from their wages. And that's how they're paying for the health care. Yeah. And yet, so many of them, until they have to access their health care, have no idea how many restrictions are in place, of how many times that before you even get into the operating room, when you're registering, you know, to be moved upstairs or wherever the OR is, they want money up front. And if you have not paid it up front, you are not going into that operating room. And I have seen it. I have seen where family members have thrown down multiple credit cards just to cover what needs to be covered before that person can go into the OR. Access to health care in this state is so difficult. And anybody who thinks otherwise has obviously not tried to access healthcare.
But to expand on his message, he's first saying, oh, we don't want communists here, because it's generally understood most Americans don't like communism. Okay, then he goes on to socialism. What's going to be next? He's laying the groundwork. Next, if you're a homosexual, don't come here, because we're going to put you in jail, or we're not going to give you any opportunities to work or any housing. Then what? Oh, now if you're a Venezuelan, you can't come here. Or if you're a Mexican, and why not round up the black people and the Jewish people? Get everybody out that's not a white Christian capitalist that fits the mold that that he will apparently set for Floridians.
Sounds like Hitler to me.
Yeah,
I think that was exactly the same, you know, the Aryan nation, the white, blonde, blue-eyed Aryan nation that he wanted to build. And even hearing Trump speak, you know, when he says, I will be dictator for one day, I mean, that should send chills down everyone's spine. I mean, when have we ever had a candidate for president or anyone in that office talking about being a dictator as if it's a positive thing? We have done everything we can to, you know, expel dictators, to make sure that we don't live in a society that is run by a dictator. And to hear those words, it just chills me. But in terms of Rick Scott, corporate greed is okay. I mean, that is exactly what he is espousing, because even after HCA was fined over $1 billion for the Medicare fraud that they committed, and he took the Fifth Amendment, over 100 times, managed to escape scot-free, from any penalties, and the company didn't skip a beat. They didn't. They continued to function and to grow. So what they are saying is we want healthcare to grow as long as we're putting money in our pockets. I mean, one of the worst things that ever happened to the state of Florida was when Rick Scott told then Secretary Sebelius that he was going to expand Medicaid, and she believed him. Why anyone would believe someone who has committed the greatest fraud in Medicare history that he was going to do this? And so what did she allow? She allowed managed care. And managed care, especially for the disability community, is one of the worst things that could ever happen. Because managed care providers, they get the money up front. So if you, after 2 months of the care that you need, have run out of money, that's it. You're done. So plans of care, any of these things, again, especially for individuals with disabilities, they have been impacted the greatest. And healthcare in this, when we're ranked among the worst in the nation in healthcare, and Rick Scott keeps saying, we don't want this here, we don't want that here. What do they want here? They want, I guess, just white, rich, and able to afford it. Because otherwise, who else could live here?
The excuse that I've heard the state give for turning down all this federal money is that they then need to hire people to administer it, because if the money just shows up, it stands to reason you need administrators to distribute it. It doesn't self-distribute. But of course, those fees the cost of that administration would be so small relative to the good it could do. And I think it goes to DeSantis bragging that we have such small government. We're now shrinking it down to the point where the government can't serve the people.
Well, I have a quote directly related to what you're saying. 90% of the cost of expansion of Medicaid would be covered by Florida's federal tax dollars returning to the state, and save the state nearly $200 million annually. It's all smoke and mirrors. They say that there are strings attached. There are no strings attached. Or why else would all of the other states have expanded Medicaid? They've expanded Medicaid because they've seen the financial plus. And look at our rural hospitals. We are losing rural hospitals almost on a daily basis.
Now, when you say we, I know that's a national issue, but you're referring to Florida.
To Florida, it's in the states that have expanded Medicaid, no, that is not happening. They're not losing them at the same rate that we are, and that's what's so egregious. They also talk in this Pasadomo bill that there will be free clinics, and find them. I get calls from people because I work for an organization called Florida Voices for Health. And what we hear from people, consumers out there, is they don't have access to health care. It's not affordable. And many are falling in what is called the gap. They may earn too much, which again, $6,924 a year is all a family of three can earn to qualify for Medicaid in the state of Florida. So they earn too much to qualify for Medicaid, and they don't earn enough to qualify for the Affordable Care Act. So when you have over 1 million people who have no access to health care whatsoever, what do they do? In an emergency, or not even an emergency, for what other people would go to a primary care physician, they wind up in an emergency room. So where do the costs go up? The costs go up for the hospitals. Who do they pass that cost on to? The rest of us. It makes no sense. It makes no dollars and cents to not expand Medicaid in the state of Florida.
Gee, that's socialism, isn't it? When everybody pays for the health care. The Republicans have been having their heads handed to them ever since the Dobbs decision, and it's not going away for them. It may have been instrumental in the election this week up in New York that gave another seat to the Democrats in Congress. Do you think that could play into it as a way to try to get everybody's eye off that ball and go after minorities like the homosexual community?
What we're hoping, I mean, the one thing that they have to realize is that the LGBT community is very well organized. They have multiple organizations within the state of Florida, as we heard from Carlos. There are also, there's the large caucus link around the state, the Democratic LGBT caucuses, and so many other organizations that are looking out for the rights of the LGBT community. And when you see, I mean, Pinellas County has one of the largest pride parades and pride celebrations, not only in the state of Florida, but in the nation. And so, you know, they're here, they're queer. I mean, get used to it. And I think the majority of people have. I don't know of anyone who doesn't have a friend or family member who isn't in the LGBT community. We know individuals who are gay. And that's fine. But that's where the hypocrisy comes in. When you have the leader of the Republican Party conducting threesomes and now being accused of sexual assault and voyeurism and all of the other things that, you know, the list has not finished, he tries to bribe the Republican Party by saying, I'll leave if you give me $2 million.
Yeah.
And his wife is happily ensconced as a member of the school board and is also on that Disney board. Then you turn around, you look at Hillsborough County. The same thing. Jay Collins comes into Hillsborough County and his wife with enough years so that they can run against, or he can run against Janet Cruz, a legislator who had won multiple seats, House and Senate, and the millions of dollars that were spent from outside Florida money to take that seat should tell us. And now his wife is co-founder of Moms for Liberty, is also running for a school board seat in Hillsborough County. We have to pay attention, people.
DeSantis could remove Bridget Ziegler from that school board. And he's about the only way that she could be removed because she doesn't want to step down. Where is his integrity? Where is his morality that he unleashes against the small homosexual community in our state that isn't hurting anybody? They're just trying to live their lives like everybody else.
It's hypocrisy. I mean, even when you see in the Catholic Church, you know, all of the priests, the pedophiles, when you saw the Boy Scouts that were also infiltrated by individuals that were, sexually assaulting children, you do not see that in the LGBT community. There's absolutely no statistics whatsoever. And when you talk about grooming or trying to change someone into something they're not, believe me, I have a nephew at three years of age. We knew he was gay. There was no dispute. That was just who he was and who he is.
Yeah. Our quote today is from Isaac Newton. He said this: "I can calculate the movement of stars, but not the madness of men." Actually, he probably should have said planets, because stars don't really move around from our vantage point. But you get the idea. And isn't it true? I mean, we thought our liberties were so secure for so long as baby boomers, and now we see them being systematically dismantled by a government that has only its agenda of perpetual power and minority rule at hand. Well, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., join Paul Malloy for Freedom Works. And up next, we'll hear the national news. Then stay tuned, WTAN, for Joy on Paper. Your host will be Patsy with a Z. And how can listeners reach your organization?
Well, for anyone who is having any health care issues in terms of, getting coverage and also Medicaid redetermination, please reach out to Florida Voices for Health. We're at www.healthyfla.org.
We'll be back next Thursday with another edition of the Voice of Reason. Until then, remember, if the statement seems a little too implausible to be true, don't believe it because the conservatives say it.
Make them prove it.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
Sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Donald Trump will become the first former U.S. president to face a criminal trial after a New York judge today rejected his calls to dismiss the case, which involves hush money. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The timing really is quite striking. Jury selection set to begin now March 25th, 20 days after Super Tuesday. And the New York judge, Juan Merchan, said in open court this morning he talked with Washington, D.C. federal judge Tanya Chutkan, the one overseeing Trump's 2020 election conspiracy case here in Washington, and that the dates seem to work out now for March 25th, a jury selection in New York.
Trump's representatives are also at a separate hearing in Atlanta, pushing to have the lead